CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Yes, we are here, and Thursday is here as well. I can't believe we've already had 3 days of this week done and dusted, and we've only got today and Friday. It doesn't somehow feel like a full week of the first month yet, the first new month. I mean, it's just crazy, right? And I do want to say at the start, like yesterday, in the words of one of our listeners, let me just quote them. Yesterday when I started the show, I know you were ranty and pissy today, and rightly so. So if I was ranty and pissy yesterday, then I apologize. That's what Francho called it. So, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
It's about right. Ranty and pissy.
You're human.
Yeah, I'm feeling better today, though.
Are you?
Well, you know, I can't stay in a bad mood for long, and it's a blessing and a curse. It's a blessing because I don't have to stay angry with anybody for a long time, and I get over stuff really quickly, so I don't hold grudges. And I have people really close to me who are incapable of that. They just can't let go of stuff. They get very angry. I mean, like, Sia, you're one of those people, because I know when you have an issue with someone, you do not forget about that. You get stubborn as hell. You hate them even more.
Are you talking about what happened on the 23rd of March 2008 or the 7th of June 2016?
You will remember that shit. In Yiddish, they call it, you've got verribbles. You've got like... you've got
absolutely.
Yeah, and you do not let go of that stuff. And there are lots of people who have that. What it does, in my case, is it allows me to get over things and to move on really quickly. So I don't hold on to negative energy. But guess what? Because everything has a downside, right? There's an upside to things, so it sounds good. The downside is you don't really develop the same levels of empathy. And you aren't able to, I mean, you could very easily isolate yourself and just keep moving and do some pretty horrible things. Like a lot of very dangerous people in history were like that. They didn't hold on to the negative. Like, you can see it in this lunatic Donald Trump. And I'm not by any means comparing myself to him, because I think there are a lot of differences. But he is just so self-absorbed and so able to forget negative experiences that he doesn't even know when he's fucked up. Does that make sense?
Mm.
He moves right on. And if you bring up like, oh, but you did this, he's like, no, I didn't. It's almost like he has a different version of history in his head. So if you ask any of my ex-girlfriends or you talk to people who I've had arguments with in the past, they're still hurting, or they're still, not the ex-girlfriends, and hopefully they've moved on.
Ooh-wee.
But there are people who I've had arguments with, or I've said something to, or whatever, because those are the rules of the game at the time. And then down the line, they'll say to me, oh, I'm still a little bit hurt by that. And I'm like, what? I didn't say that. And they go, yes. Oh, yes, you did.
I have to say, for to be on the receiving end of that, that infuriates me even more.
Yeah.
When I try to bring someone something up with someone like you, and you go, what are you even talking about?
we've moved on and you have not. So that's the downside, is that you end up really being emotionally very distant and cold. And while you've let something go, other people are like just starting to come to terms with it. And it does not sit well with them when you say, oh, I don't even remember. So, yes, ranty and pissy yesterday, but I've moved on.
Mm.
So
shit, that's good for you.
Shit happens. How are you, Pinky? We've got Pinky Mokemane on the line with us this morning. She is broadcasting. Did you move? You made a move, right?
I did move, Gareth. So I'm in my new place now. It's been like 2 weeks, and it's going well.
Hell of a time to move, like I said to you last time. I mean, everybody else is getting more used to the place they were already in during lockdown. Not you. You moved around. You were staying with friends. Then you were in your own place. Then you moved from that place to this new place. And it's almost like you've had a really busy 3 months. You just haven't stopped.
Yeah, no, my lockdown has been quite busy, actually.
I don't know how.
Up and down.
You've been to the police station more than most of us.
Yes.
Car accidents.
Like over two police stations. I've just been on the go.
Just drama.
Yeah. Like, come on. Can't you just calm down?
Just stay in your house, actually, more than everyone else. It's not even
so now I am staying indoors. I'm not going anywhere, and I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, well, thank God.
So my lockdown just started.
Oh, man.
You have 9 weeks of catch-up to do.
You know, it's funny what gets people's attention on the show. And we could talk about really important stuff. We could talk about things that are in the news and that everyone supposedly is really wrapped up in. And then there are things that come up like Sia's gift discussion, which is still there. I think we discussed that with Pumi on Tuesday.
And yeah.
I have emails from people who think, you know, the way Sia goes online and checks the price of something when he's received a gift. There are people who are horrified by that. And then there's some people who are honest and they're like, oh, yeah, I'm that guy, too. I do that.
I'm glad. I think there are more of us who do it than the ones who actually care to admit it.
I am completely with Sia, and I did my own research.
And the church choir says amen.
Yes, what did your research come up with?
In the office, I asked them, like, have you guys done this? And I know from the previous stories we've shared in the office that they have. And the immediate answer was, no, I'd never do that. Oh. No. And I'm like, All right, we've done this before.
So who are the culprits? Go on, tell us.
I know.
It's your
name and shame.
If you've done your research, we need to know.
I'm scared.
Name and shame.
I can't fight. I don't want to risk a fight happening.
But you
just stay at home. There will be no fight.
But you reckon Sia is like not alone. There are lots of people who do the same thing.
I think a lot of people are not willing to admit it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where I stand. I mean, I do it too. I do it.
Jeez. And what are your reasons? Why do you do it?
So, I mean, when Pumi was talking about the vase, I was like, girl, I mean, if you buy me something that doesn't fit with my space, I can't put it here just to make you happy. So I'd like to think that you'd rather have me go exchange it or give it to someone else who would appreciate it.
Yeah, that sounds rational to me.
Yeah, that's not an unreasonable position. I mean, as much as I love the idea that people can give you a gift and it's from them, and we had this conversation on Tuesday, so I don't want to go over ground that we've already been over, but it's your house. You don't have to have some disgusting looking thing. Like I said, I hate Carol Boys, right? So if anyone gives me Carol Boys stuff, it usually gets regifted. I mean, for example, I've got a bread knife, I think, that someone gave me. And I get that her stuff is people love it, but I don't think it's pretty. All those weird like half Picasso face things weird shit, right? Not my thing. I'm much more into, you know, solid, stood the test of time, classical. There are things that just have looked good for 2,000 years and will continue to. Carol Boys was not there 2,000 years ago. And I don't think if anyone digs her shit up in 2,000 more years, they'll go, oh, we need to go back to that period in human crafts.
Rest in peace, Carol.
Yeah, but
rest in peace.
Yeah, shame. I mean, you know, she's done really well during her life and she created some amazing stuff. And I get
she passed away.
When did she die? You keep going on about how dead she is.
She died last year.
Last year, yeah.
How old was she, Mbulelo? You know a lot about this Carol Boys woman, huh?
I do. I did some work with her.
You're a bit of a fan. Did you meet her?
I did. I did some work with her. I emceed some of her stuff whilst I lived in Cape Town.
Okay.
She was alive then.
Okay, so she didn't die that... She didn't die old then. I mean, if she's born in 54, she's 64 years old when she died. That's young.
65.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Well, good for her. I mean, she definitely had her own signature style and look, and that's incredible to be able to do that when there are so many people in the world who are craftsmen and who are designers and who can put their thing out there. And she developed this very distinctive style. So again, I'm gonna not her stuff for me, but I'm not going to knock it for you. But anyway, but, so Pinky says that she's not going to put your shit in her house if she doesn't like it. That's basically
yeah,
what she said.
That so, shit's going.
Just a warning.
Getting re-gifted or getting in the bin.
Just one a warning to anybody who sends Pinky anything that she hasn't already given the thumbs up to. She's going to throw that shit right away.
Okay, Pinky, I don't mean to sell you out here, but you told me something else that really shook me. This is like a level ahead of me
here.
Oh
my goodness.
What is this?
You admitted that you give people price ranges according to, what is it, according to like how much they make or how successful they are
how
when they
she
gift
likes
you.
Them.
I think that's a lot, actually.
Look, one example is my sister.
Mm.
So I have very high expectations when it comes to gifts from my sister.
Yes.
And she's also created this, well, we have the same set of, I don't know, like levels. Like she knows what she can expect from me. Mm-hmm. And I've never disappointed her, you know? So people like my sister or even my friends, we know, like, there's just some gifts that you get for Pinky or I get for whoever. And anything below that, rather just leave it. Or give
you
it
give
a couple of months.
Actual prices.
Look, we can even do that. I can even just tell you, like, Sia, so your price ranges from this amount to this amount. Is this something that you want?
The pressure.
Well,
some people would say,
hectic.
I mean, you've thought about it. So some people would say that Bolelo's position is much worse because he just gives money.
Or don't give me a present. Either because the older I get, I have the stuff I want. So
yeah, but,
I've practiced every day
so
knowing
if
what
I
want.
If I give you a special a weapon, like a fighting knife.
Do I want it?
Yeah, but I've had it. I've had your name engraved on it, and it's something that you could use if you were walking down the street in one of your early morning runs that you're stupid enough to do.
and
someone approaches you, and you could pull out your fighting knife, and it's got Bolelo written on it. And you could stab the motherfucker. You know that? Wouldn't that be a nice gift? Like I've
no, because I don't want a knife.
Oh.
Okay,
I know what I want.
Right. How about like
I'm getting you?
This
I'm getting you one of those terrible fucking biltong platters. That's what I'm going to get you.
Yes, this is me trying to know sports. What if I get like the shoes Bruce Fordyce wore, or
you want to put stinky fucking shoes?
Oh yeah, never mind. A jersey Pele wore at one of his iconic soccer matches for you to hang up on the wall.
I have the money to buy it. Give me the money. I'll buy what I want.
You know what? Right. Never mind.
And the older people get is they accrue wealth. They can buy the things they want. So just ask me. But anyway, I know people like to get, I know a small part of you and it's just us. So just do me a favor.
Wow.
Do you even have emotions? I'm giving you a thumbs up for your birthday.
Jesus. Just pat him on the back and say, hey, well done for another year around the sun. You stoic son of a bitch. Yeah.
But you're the gift.
So
to everyone, you're the gift.
Oh,
if you can come.
Oh, is that how you rescue yourself?
Oh, no. Don't get me yourself, please.
So, Pinky, another thing you wanted to bring up, because Pinky's been obviously listening with a critical ear this week to the shows, and she listened to Gord yesterday, and she said, Gord has such a lot to say. you don't say. Yesterday, I just eventually, I wasn't in a great mood, so I just sat back. I just let him go, and I counted. I think for 5 minutes, he did not take a breath. He was just, and I love Gord. I mean, he's really funny. When he's funny, he's amazing. And he's actually quite insightful. And, you know, he's got a good way with language. So the guy is talented. But Jesus, you cannot, when he's on a roll, he just is impossible to stop.
So, Gareth, I think I tuned in just after 6.
Yeah.
And I only heard Gord. At some point, I was like, I'm not too sure if I'm listening. Is Gareth even there today? Like, what's happening?
Yeah, that's it.
And he just kept on going and going and going.
Can you imagine
being
in a relationship with that guy?
Oh, my goodness. I thought about that. And I was like, he probably talks 95% of the time.
For sure.
95%. I think maybe that might even be less.
Whoever's dated him has had to accept at some point, or that's the reason that they broke up eventually because they couldn't accept it, that this guy is just a motor mouth and he's going to have a lot to say. You know, if you take the average person, and it's great for the show, you know, that's one of the reasons we love having Gord on, because it would be terrible if you were just one of those people who says one sentence every 15 minutes, because then there'd be no point. Mm-hmm. And Gord, he just rattles on. But if you were married to him and you were like trying to get to sleep at night and you're lying in bed with that guy and he's got, let's say he's got a lot of energy that day, or he hasn't been busy enough, so he's not tired, and he's lying there next to you just da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
And I mean, most women complain about men not talking.
Yeah.
But listen, Gord,
yeah,
he's taken all the talking for men. He talks to literally every man on this planet.
such an issue. Oh, man. Listen, I know we've discussed tea, which is another thing that everybody came up with theories about, because it turns out that the things people are most passionate about in the world right now, not the lockdown and whether or not it's right or wrong, it's not riots in America, or whether or not people agree with Donald Trump or anything else. It's actually tea and regifting. This is what people are interested in on a day like today.
Burning issues.
Damn right.
The burning.
Yeah.
Regifting is so plausible to me. It's not a bad thing at all. I think do it, go for gold. It's not a bad thing.
Well,
imagine if we kept all of the nonsense that was given to us.
No, it's true. It's true. So I got a great call, a great message here. This is from somebody who messaged us, Natasha. Do you want to hear this? It's quite a long message, but it's quite interesting. She says, morning, listening from 6 a.m. yesterday, the tale of Tunnel Bear. That's, of course, Gord's name on Tinder. Gareth, I feel you. I'm 100% in mental alignment with your early morning feelings. Ugh, done, fuck this shit kind of stuff. I'm a qualified professional architect. I opened my own architectural firm in 2016. I spent 4 grueling years building my company up, growing, pumping all my money into that growth. I have staff and offices and equipment, software, etc. And against all odds, my business was on the up and growing. Man, do I feel like Natasha. We started this year at Cliff Central. We were like, this is going to be our best year ever. You remember, right, Sia and Pinky and Lello. Mm-hmm. We were like, oh, this is going to be the greatest year. And we lined up some great clients. Among our clients was Edgar's. We know how that's gone, right? Yeah. So
look, COVID, that was a punch, eh?
Yeah, so COVID and lockdown have hit Natasha's business. According to her, boom, month one was like, we'll survive. Month two was like, okay, we need to retrench staff and downsize. The buffer can only stretch so far. Month three, I'll have to rebuild this business from the start. I've remained as positive as I could and knew I would rebuild whatever I lost because I'm a fucking hard worker. But on Monday, all excited to officially get back to the grind, I found myself at the closed doors of our local municipality, who seems still to be on lockdown because, well, government are paying, so why work, right? I got hold of one of their employees on the private number, and they've been given instructions not to return to work, nor a potential reopening date. Level three for what? My business and industry relies on municipality liaison for planning approval, department consent, and so on, as well as the viewing of previously approved plans for properties and potential clients. Now, without the municipality opening, I can do nothing further for quoting on previously developed lots or even current business. So listening to you this morning having a moment hit me in the feels because I'm there as well. Perhaps it is time for me to find a new calling. Yeah, Natasha, take a night and just sleep as well as you can. I mean, yesterday I was useless, right? So I decided, okay, I'm having a bad day, so just write it off. And I've heard from smarter people than me, you know, even I am capable of listening occasionally rather than talking. And these smarter people than me have said, when you're having one of those days, just call it a duvet day. Just do your thing, stay at home, don't do anything. If you need to have a sleep, have a sleep. If you want to eat comfort food, eat comfort food. If you want to turn on the heater and just watch TV, you can do that as well. And I just had one of those days yesterday.
A pity playlist.
Yes, like you see, I does this pity playlist, and then he gets in the bath and he luxuriates and feels desperately sorry for himself. You remember we talked about this in the first week or two of lockdown.
It's normal.
Yeah, well, for you, you were ahead of the curve. You had your pity playlist and everything way before the rest of us. I was like, ha, 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 Sia, you're so pathetic. And then what happens? Like 8 weeks later, I'm in the same position. So, Natasha, just take a moment to refuel. And you'll get that passion back.
Yeah, I'm with Natasha there. One of the things about lockdown, which has been great that I've seen from people, is usually we don't let ourselves feel how we feel. You know what I mean? We just, okay, even if I'm sad, I got to get to work. There's deliverables. Yeah. Oh my God, my life's so busy.
Oh my
and
God.
Now, oh you my have, God. You, however you feel.
Oh my God, sorry, there's my a life's so busy. Yeah. Yeah.
I can't at the moment. I can't even deal at the moment. But
I can't deal.
Michelle, I'll call you back.
All right.
But the lockdown has, however you feel, yes. You have to feel that. Way you have to let yourself feel that, and most of our world has this kind of tension that's been underlying, and now we've seen it manifest itself. So it's been great for us as a society, awful for the economy.
Yeah,
but I think it's good that we face up to this in the long term.
Maybe we'll emerge from this more mentally stable. Hey, Mbulelo, I haven't got enough hate mail from people about you this morning. Won't you just check if the phone is loading? seriously, the WhatsApp line seems to be down, and I'll
have a look.
I haven't seen enough people saying Mbulelo's a turd and that kind of thing. So.
It's concerning to you.
That doesn't sound right. Let me check.
Yeah, it does sound like there's an imbalance in the force.
It's even more balanced if he's talking about feelings, and you do need to feel. The same guy who just said he doesn't care for gifts.
Pinky, have you heard from that guy whose garage door you left open? have you been
I haven't
in contact?
Thought about him.
You've been in contact with him during the lockdown?
Oh, man, it's crazy how things escalated, eh?
Ba-da-ba-da-ow.
To the point where I had to block him.
Oh, shit. You're joking.
And then I had to block him in my emails.
What went wrong?
Oh, it went completely south. He was trying to get things he was just trying to push things, you know, move to like a serious level. And I just wasn't, I'm not ready for that.
Oh, boy.
And, yeah, it started in December up until now. And, I mean, sometimes he calls with different numbers.
Oh, see, now that's another level of desperation.
Yeah, that's freaky and unnecessary. You know, I often I'll stop following people or I'll just mute them. But when you're having a bad day like I was yesterday, you are in full block mode. Like if someone says something that just the smallest thing that normally you would just dismiss, it depends on how you're feeling. If you're on a good tip and you're having a great day, it takes a lot to piss you off. If you're having a bad day and someone sends you a stupid message or you see their social media and you're like, how many more selfies can this fucking idiot possibly put up? then you're like, block, block, block. And I went on a rampage yesterday. I'm not afraid to admit. I unfollowed a bunch of people who I just don't feel are adding value to my life. They may be adding value to other people or to the world. I don't know, but not to me. And I must have shed 400 to 500 people across, you know, I don't have Twitter on my phone, so that doesn't count. So this is on Instagram and Facebook, WhatsApp. There were one or two as well, but that was mine. How's that, huh?
And Garrett, I don't think in your processing you even consider how it will be depicted, which I think is a good thing for your character. But you left a group where it was a very small group of us, a WhatsApp group.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And when you left...
Was this yesterday?
I just got the notification that you left it. I thought, whoa, how am I going to explain this?
I don't know.
So I haven't put on the group yet.
Yeah, I haven't been. Obviously, I haven't been on there because I just left the group. But I always wonder what those conversations are like after you leave, because people are like, oh, do you think he's really angry? Do you think he's cross with any one of us? Is it a personal thing? Really, it's not. I'm just cleaning out stuff. So I
there was someone who tried
so many,
to.
I have so many groups. I'm like, I don't want to be on another one.
But you know, just a cheers, guys, or thank you.
No, that's
bye now.
Isn't it worse if you do that?
I think it's best to just leave. I actually believe in ghosting.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the best thing to do. Just disappear.
You get the fuck out of there.
When you ghost, it leaves too many questions up in the air, which makes the rest of us psychoanalyze it too much.
Aye.
But it's not about you guys.
No. The reason I left is because I don't give a shit what you guys think.
So, okay,
that's the bottom line.
To be frank, I didn't sit and ponder over it for hours and then go, oh, I'm going to do the brave thing and leave this group. I just, in a moment of like complete, what should I do? I was just like, let's get out of here.
Yes.
I didn't apply. But I didn't
we
apply.
We did.
Yes, I know. So I'm leaving a group where whoever's left, like three of you or whatever, you all probably why did Gareth leave the group? Oh,
Yeah, I thought, well, should I say something? Should I say, you know, he has phone issues. There's a glitch in his phone.
Yeah, sure. Make excuses for me because I'm not going to.
I'll just upload this podcast into the group.
Exactly. That's it. Just
that's the official statement.
Yeah, I have no explanations. Just accept it and move on. All right. Here is some news. We need to get into some headlines. So first of all, Eskom, they're back in their best possible place. You know what Eskom's favorite place is? Failure. Because Eskom is saying that thanks to the maintenance that it got done during lockdown, there should only be a few days of load shedding this winter. Isn't that nice of them? They told Parliament on Wednesday that down from around a month of electricity interruptions, it projected before the coronavirus arrived, it is anticipating only 3 days of stage one load shedding in all of July. That's next month. As it can keep unplanned breakdowns and system losses below 11,000 megawatts. So they're very excited about that. Eskom, this is the least amount of failure they've had in a long time. You know, we've got to celebrate the low-hanging fruit with these guys. There is an 80% probability, the utility told a parliamentary committee in a presentation on its system and corporate status, but it simultaneously warned that the risk of load shedding still remains due to unreliability and unpredictability of the system. This will be the reality after 18 months of reliable maintenance, which will last until August 2021. Load shedding in winter doesn't have the same impact as in summer, they told Parliament. It's likely to turn off the lights only during the evening peak between 5 in the afternoon and 10 at 8 o'clock at night. But isn't that when it's coldest? Isn't that when we
That's when we need electricity.
You sons of bitches. That's when we need our kettles or our heaters. You know, you want to switch it off between 5 and 8 when it starts getting freezing? And what, switch it on again in the morning? After we've already woken up and our teeth have been chattering while we've been trying to keep warm.
No fun times.
No, our geezer hasn't been on, so that's cold. I mean, can you imagine you looking forward to the one moment in your morning where either you get to wash your face with warm water or you get to hop in the shower and then fucking Eskom have switched off the power. Oh, it's the worst. By the way, I spoke to a friend of mine over the weekend. He's one of those people who does he does those cold showers like Ben used to do.
Yeah.
You know, even in the middle of winter, he will have a cold shower first thing. Can you imagine how that feels?
Oh, no.
I wouldn't even do it just to experiment.
Mm-mm.
You know, I wouldn't do it just to see how it feels. I wouldn't be interested. Mm-mm. That would be pain.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, here's an interesting story from India. They've had a powerful cyclone which has lashed the business capital of Mumbai, and 100,000 people were evacuated. That part of the world's just having a very rough time at the moment. Remember, it was Bangladesh, I think, the other day, who also had to evacuate people because they had this tropical storm. Yeah, this one is called Cyclone Nisarga, made landfall south of Mumbai, bringing heavy rain and wind. They've got a population of 18 million people in Mumbai.
And they
haven't had a cyclone in more than a century. So the people who are suddenly going, ooh, are these guys even ready? We moved people to other strong buildings where there's a supply of water. But 100,000 people had to be evacuated. That's quite scary.
Look, 100,000 people is a lot, but in comparison to 18 million.
Yeah, no, sure.
And, thankfully, it's not that.
And for India, moving 100,000 people is like that because they're used to moving probably many more than that in a day.
Yeah.
You know. So that's a horrible story from the subcontinent. And then here's another one, international news. Boris Johnson has offered refuge and citizenship to 3 million Hong Kong residents. This is an ongoing thing. You know, China have been unchecked for probably the last 15 years, where I remember when Hong Kong became independent of Britain, and Britain decided to pull out there because it used to belong to Britain. The promise was that China would allow Hong Kong to be an autonomous state that could run itself. They had their own parliament, they had their own rules, it was much more free than mainland China, and that they would slowly be integrated into a China where they had, you know, a separate set of rules for Hong Kong. It's almost like, you know, when a mom remarries and then the stepdad is like, well, you know, they're your kids, so you have different rules for them than for my kids. Anyway, China have not... It didn't take them long to start encroaching on the freedoms of Hong Kong. And now Britain have said, well, I'm going to – this is Boris Johnson. He's like, well, I'm going to give people from Hong Kong the option of becoming British again because China is lying and, again, have let everyone down. Many people in Hong Kong – this is the words of Boris Johnson – fear for that way of life, which China pledged to uphold and is now under threat. If China proceeds to justify their fears, then Britain could be in good, in good conscience, shrug our shoulders and walk away. Instead, we will honor our obligations and provide an alternative, which would give people of Hong Kong the option of just becoming British. It's quite an interesting move. And of course, this is all part of the fact that the world is sincerely and I think quite rightfully pissed off with China at the moment, not just because of what happened with Corona, but because of all the other things that are going on. And the it's evident, for example, they are punishing Australia at the moment with imports and exports that were always very healthy between China and Australia. They've decided to punish the people of Australia because Australia are insisting that they do an investigation into how coronavirus happened, which is not unreasonable considering what it plunged the world into.
If you have nothing to hide, why do you have an issue with it?
China have everything to hide, Sia. That government is just not – and again, it's not the Chinese people. This is the government, the communist government of the Republic of the People's Republic of China. Those people have no idea of how to be honest. Everything to them is propaganda. They learnt it all from Mao and Stalin, and they have no other way of thinking. Everything's about secrets. It's about making the nation look great even when the nation's fucked up. And they did not handle coronavirus very well. The whole world is of that opinion. It's not just me. There are maybe countries that depend solely on China who will say, oh, no, they handled it beautifully. Or that idiot Tedros from the WHO, World Health Organization. But everyone else is saying, you know what? We want some answers. You don't spread this shit around the world and start an epidemic without a little bit coming back, some blowback at you. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Then our favorite story, one of the favorite stories that we've had during lockdown, Lesotho's former first lady, Masaya Taban.
The gift that keeps on giving.
Well, she's returned to custody on Wednesday after a court-revoked bail that she'd been controversially given over the murder of her husband's estranged wife. The 43-year-old was charged with murder in February after police quizzed her on the brutal killing of former Prime Minister Thomas Tabane's wife 2 days before his inauguration. She spent one night in jail before a high court freed her on a 1,000 maloti, which is about $57, bail. But on Friday, the country's Court of Appeal cancelled that bail. Police failed to rearrest her immediately because she was out of the country, accompanying her octogenarian husband, who was going for medical attention in neighboring South Africa. But on Wednesday, she arrived at the magistrate's court in Maseru under the escort of armed police officers. And the magistrate said she would be taken to the female correctional facility in fulfillment of the appeals court judgment. So from first lady to prisoner.
There's some sort of pattern that takes place when there's a political saga going on. When it's some sort of crime, and there's legal action, why is it that someone happens to get sick and they need to be treated outside of the country?
This is an old story. We've seen this play out before.
It's the land of Pinky's people.
What Pinky's people?
My mom is from Lesotho.
I rest my case.
Look, I know you Sotho, but don't lay all the blame for this woman on Pinky's shoulders.
Please.
I mean, you're such a tribalist, CEO. You want me to bring up King Gudzo Zwelithini again?
Good point. Never mind. Let's move on.
Imagine if every time anyone Zulu did anything wrong, we held all the Zulus accountable.
Oh.
That would be ridiculous, right? Be ridiculous. You are responsible for your own behavior. I don't think like all people from Lesotho or Lesotho or Sotho speaking people in general are anywhere responsible for this crazy woman. I mean, she killed the other woman.
Point blank shooting range.
Jesus. Anyway, and then this is a nice turnout for the books. This year could not get any weirder. They say that they might have found the guy who abducted Madeleine McCann. Remember Madeleine McCann? I mean, Madeleine McCann would probably be, 63 now, wouldn't she? How old is... When did that happen? 2007?
I think she'd be a teenager.
Yeah, all right. She'd be quite old by now. Anyway, she went missing on the 3rd of May in 2007, a few days before her fourth birthday. She disappeared, you remember, from the family's holiday home in the Algarve village in Portugal as her parents dined with friends at a nearby restaurant and left her at home, sparking one of the biggest searches of its kind in recent years. Despite a wide range of suspects and theories, no one has ever been convicted of the disappearance. So the Germans have revealed they've identified a new suspect in the disappearance of Madeleine McCann, saying that the 43-year-old German man with a history of child sex abuse may have killed her. The suspect, who was not named, is serving a long prison sentence for an unrelated matter, said Germany's Federal Criminal Agency. He has previous convictions of child sex abuse, the agency added. And apparently this guy was driving a van. It's always a van. Why do pedophiles always have vans?
White van, no windows.
What is it with these pedophiles? Can they not be a little more creative in their choice of car? I'm telling you, if I were a parent, the only time...
This is so bad. Epstein was.
If I were a parent and I was worried about my child's safety, the only time I'd do anything about it is if I saw a van in the neighborhood. The moment you see one of those vans...
Makes sense.
Jesus Christ, hide the children. It's terrible. All right, well, good luck. I hope they find Madeleine McCann's... abductor and possible killer.
And her remains.
Well, she could be living in some country at the moment with a new name and we wouldn't know, right? You go missing.
And I think she also wouldn't know.
2007, that's a long ass time ago.
And she was just about to turn 4.
Yeah, whoever.
I mean, what do you remember when you were 3 years old?
Nothing. The people who abducted her know she knows them better than she knew her parents. You know, by a long way. Pretty scary.
That is a scary thought.
Damn right. All right. Well, you know what isn't scary is that it's actually been a really good week if you're an investor for a number of reasons. There are several reasons that we've discussed before, and I always get questions for Sean about what people want to know about the markets, what people are thinking about their own investments, how they want to change those investments. So we've got him back, and I'm delighted to welcome once more to the show the CEO and co-founder of Revix. How are you doing, Sean Saunders?
Good morning, Gareth. Very good. And yourself?
Yeah, good, man. So my brother called me yesterday. He was so excited because he saw that, you know, the markets are starting to open up a little and the Rand was performing well yesterday. And, you know, all those traditional things that people have put their money in are looking a little healthier. But crypto had a great week too, didn't it?
It did. Now, crypto had a very good week, but I'm a little bit shell-shocked just at how the traditional markets have been doing. I mean, you've got major stock markets, such as the S&P 500 and NASDAQ, that are about 7% off their all-time highs. I mean, you've just had the worst pandemic in history.
Yeah.
It seems a bit weird, right?
It does. And people are talking about how there's this disconnect between the markets and the real world, because obviously in the real world, people are being laid off. Salaries are being slashed. Companies are in big trouble. There just isn't a huge flow of money. And yet in the markets, things are returning to a normal that we could almost identify as being what we had before Corona.
Yeah, it's super weird. I think the disconnect, it comes about because people are looking past this whole pandemic and they're saying, okay, right, what's the world going to look like in 2 or 3 years' time? And they're predicting a very quick recovery. I can't say I necessarily agree with that that analysis, but I mean, you can't really argue with the market, right? They're generally right.
Well, there are other things I also want to ask you about, because I see that, you know, some of the media platforms like Twitter and Facebook and Instagram are coming under huge pressure at the moment to have to, you know, comply with different laws, and free speech is coming up as an issue, and the CEOs are being targeted themselves. So no one is immune to what's going on in all this very unstable present that we're occupying. But I do want to go back to the basics here, because what Revex does is it gives you an intelligent investment platform that allows anybody, anywhere, to build a diversified portfolio or a bundle of assets in just a few clicks. And Sean came up with this idea a while ago. Investing really does seem a lot easier with your platform. Choosing an asset, you watch your portfolio grow, and hopefully it will grow. Sean is going to tell us a little bit about his bundle that's to do with platforms in a moment, because that one is doing very well. It's outperforming Bitcoin, and Bitcoin's been doing really, really well, as he's just said. So why do you think this platform bundle is doing such a great job at the moment?
So yeah, platform bundle's up about 17% this past week, while Bitcoin's up 6%. And I mean, it really comes down to the innate benefit of having our crypto bundles in your investment portfolio. Mm-hmm. And that means that you're owning multiple cryptocurrencies within a bundle and not just Bitcoin. So when the other non-Bitcoin cryptocurrencies, which we in the crypto world called altcoins, perform really well, then your bundle obviously does better. So that's exactly what's happened. This last week, you've seen the likes of Ethereum, Cardano, Tezos. They're all up over 30%. I mean, in the crypto world, 30% is still a lot. So that's kind of what's driven this bundle's returns.
Fantastic. Now, what is a platform-oriented cryptocurrency, and what does that even mean? I know you've done some work here. You've done some of the heavy lifting for us before, but what is this, the platform-oriented cryptocurrency, as opposed to the others that you offer?
So the last time I was on your show and I was talking about platform-oriented cryptocurrencies, I actually messaged you afterwards to say, I'm so sorry. I had taken a sleeping tablet about 3.5 hours before the show started. And I just remember.
You actually made, you made a lot of sense, but go ahead and cover some, cover some ground that everyone else remembers and you've forgotten. Go on.
Yeah, totally. So a lot of people think of blockchains as only being good at transferring digital money, such as Bitcoin or Litecoin. Mm-hmm. And while they're pretty good at doing this, there's certainly a lot more that they can do. So as I said, Bitcoin is great because it allows you to transfer value without any middlemen. Now, blockchains like Ethereum, EOS, NEO, Tezos, Tron, Cardano, and a lot of these may seem really weird and wonderful, but they're actually pretty big. I mean, most of these cryptocurrencies have values over $2 billion. Wow. But they allow you to run something called a smart contract or an application which is decentralized. Now, don't let that scare you, because it's really not that complicated. It's certainly not more complicated than the internet. So these cryptocurrencies are building sort of the blockchain infrastructure so that other people can come and build really amazing applications on top of it. So you have to think about what they're doing, like building the Android or iOS operating system on your phone, where other people can go, okay, that's great. Let me build this amazing application on top of this blockchain. And just like our mobile operating systems today, these platform cryptocurrencies want to provide the blockchain infrastructure to allow other people to be creative and find this killer app on top of it. So decentralized applications and smart contracts sound very complicated and they sound sci-fi, but they're not. And, you know, like I said, I think they're literally as simple as what we're doing today when we're building mobile applications and all the rest. Yeah, so a lot of people just aren't comfortable with them. They're new, and that's why people aren't comfortable with them.
Also, because we still have to have those breakthrough apps, as you mentioned, you know, the kind of the ways that these platforms can be put to the best use possible. And we know blockchain technology is full of possibilities.
And there are 100%. So if you think back to the 1960s, I mean, people were dreaming up the internet. They were doing some early testing, and no one thought of the mobile phone that would come along. and how that would completely change how you'd communicate with one another and use the internet.
Yes.
And there's that sort of opportunity that exists in the blockchain space, which people just haven't yet thought about. They haven't gone, okay, right, that's going to be the killer app, or that's what's going to change this entire space. And I mean, if you look at some of the basic blockchain applications that I'd work today, I mean, I can give you two examples so we can make this a little bit more tangible. So I guess the first example is, look at what's happening today when you're paid. You're paid on a monthly basis. And I mean, that's a bit of a silly system, don't you think, right? I mean, technically, you should be fairly paid on a daily basis or an hourly basis or perhaps even on a secondly basis.
Absolutely.
And the reason that this doesn't happen is because you've got a person that at the end of the month needs to enter the amount that they're going to pay you, probably enter your account details, click pay, and then log off and enter in that amount into a journal. Where if you had a program that was able to do this on your behalf and without any middlemen involved, without that accountant or without that individual making the payment, that would make life a whole bunch easier. So, I mean, that's one tangible example. Another example is, you know, when you order something from, let's say, Takealot, why do you pay for that upfront before you actually have it? And it seems like obvious when you start saying these things.
Yeah.
And if you think out, you know, 5 or 10 years time, you probably aren't going to pay for things upfront. No, you should have something delivered to your door. Once you're happy that you have this item that's in a good condition and whatnot, only then should the payment be released to the other company. Because currently the company that's doing the delivery to you, you know, they're able to use the funds that you've paid them to be able to pay their staff and run operating costs and all the rest.
Yep.
But you could be receiving something that's defective.
And then you're, then you're out of pocket. So it makes no sense.
Exactly. So it's all these very basic examples of where things just are slightly inefficient today and they need to improve. And the smart contract oriented cryptocurrencies are looking to do exactly this. They want to provide the infrastructure that allows you to build these sort of applications on top of it.
Well, I was actually talking to someone who I've done some work with in the UK, and they're involved in a business called Smart Wage, which is precisely what you're talking about now. You know, the idea of paying people as they've done the work, as opposed to paying people at the end of the month, which seems like such an antiquated way of doing things. And they really are ahead of the game on that one. In a country like South Africa, that could make a lot more sense. All right, so Sean, let's just go back for a minute to gold, because you launched your gold-linked cryptocurrency a while ago. And how's gold doing? And is your promo still on, most importantly?
Yes, so the promo is still on, and I'll get to that in a moment. Gold has actually seen a bit of a retracement. You've seen gold go from $1,750 an ounce to about $1,710 at the moment. And that's just really got to do with the risk on versus risk off sentiment. So all of a sudden, everyone's forgotten about COVID and we're moving into equities and we're forgetting about gold and all the safe haven investment opportunities. So you've seen gold come back in rand terms about 5%.
Isn't it fickle? Like the minute there's a new Prince Charming on the block, everyone just rushes to that and then they just leave the other stuff. And then eventually when they realize that Prince Charming isn't as good looking up close and personal, then they go running back to the old ones.
Yeah. People seem to always be late to get into things, right? Yeah. I mean, gold, you've seen all this money printed. We've spoken about this on the show loads of times. I mean, you've seen $6.5 trillion of new money enter the space, right? I mean, it's more than 50% of gold's total value. Yeah. And no one's worrying that much about inflation. I mean, I don't know. I'm raising my eyebrows to this. It's quite interesting.
All right. So tell me about the promo. It's still on the go.
Yes. So we've got a fantastic gold promo. So you can invest in gold. We've launched this gold-backed cryptocurrency called Pax Gold. It gives you direct exposure to the price of gold. And if you invest 2,000 Rand or more until the end of this month, you can get up to 1 week, or should I say up to 6 weeks risk-free investing, with your first week completely risk-free. And then provided that you're able to invite some more friends, you're able to increase the period of time that you're going to be risk-free. All you need to do is make sure that you read our terms and conditions before you get started and sign up using the promo code GOLD. So just G-O-L-D. And it's really that simple. I mean, we worked it out yesterday, over 310,000 Rand over the last 12 months in these sort of risk-free promotions. And it's fantastic because it allows people to deposit 2,000 Rand, try out our platform, see whether they like it or not. And at the end of the promo, if they want to withdraw their funds and, you know, if their investment is declined in value, we'll pay them back. If their investment is increased in value, they get to keep all their returns and they get to decide whether they want to continue with us or not.
Superb. All right. Thank you, Sean. Nice to talk to you as always. And there were questions that people sent in the other day, and I, for the life of me, cannot find them right now. But I promise you, when we speak again, I'll put some of them to you. Some questions about cryptocurrencies, some questions about gold, and some other questions about various things that are going on in the world economy at the moment that that I'm just getting from people who listen to you and want to hear your thoughts on. So I will put those to you at some point in the future. Thanks, Sean.
Brilliant, Gareth. Have a good week.
Awesome. Sean Sanders, Revix.com. You can go along and check out Revix. They're on the internet, and you can find them on social media as well. Sign up at Revix.com. It's a smart way to invest in crypto, and you can verify your ID, add funds, select the bundle of your choice, and get invested. And you can find them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter as at Revix Invest. One word, R-E-V-I-X Invest. Okay? Good. Marvelous. When we come back, we will be talking Burning Platform, everybody. I know you're excited about it, so am I. The Burning Platform, which is brought to you every week by Nando's, is also a great place for you to find out what's going on in the world. And we'll talk to Mighty Jamie today, who's a return offender, a recidivist of a kind, and Canthan Pillay, who's like the prison guard who won't go away. So between the two of them, we will find out all about what's going on South Africa's minds, in the minds of people all over the world, and there's a lot to talk about. I don't think it's been a quiet week, hey, Sia?
Yeah, you know, who knows? There might have been a little protest here, a judge ruling there.
Sure, just a few things to discuss, so we'll get into that next. All here on CliffCentral.com. Hopefully you're having a good Thursday morning.
CliffCentral.com.